On Tech News Today, Microsoft unveils its Surface 3 and it runs a surprise operating system. Plus, Amazon wants to put buttons all over your house. And a new smartwatch works with both iPhones and Android phones. Stick around. Tech News Today is next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
It's time for Twit's annual audience survey, and we want to hear from you. Please visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It only takes a few minutes, and your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. We thank you so much for your continued support. twit.tv/survey.
This is Tech News Today for Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. This episode is brought to you by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Visa gift card when you get a loan. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news with the journalists who report it. Welcome to the show. My name is Mike Elgin. My co-anchor today is After Nine's content czar, Joe Panettiere. How you doing, Joe?
Mike, I am doing fantastic. How have you been? How's your week unfolding so far?
It is unfolding, whether I like it or not. it's a great week. I'm having a good time. The weather here is beautiful. Not to rub it in. I don't know what kind of weather you're having there. It's probably not good.
Yeah, Long Island, there is snow in the forecast again tonight, if you can believe
Hasn't it been snowing for like a year now? I mean, it's just...
Yeah. It's news when it's not snowing. So we really don't talk about the weather until someone says, did you notice it's not snowing?
All right. Well, I'm sorry I brought it up. I didn't mean to hit a sore subject. Now, today is World Backup Day, according to Jason, who informed me about this very important holiday. So make sure that you're backing stuff up. Don't just go back up your stuff now. Make sure you have an ongoing backup, because if you're like me, you've been burned by your own failure to back up in the past. I have been burned multiple times, and never again, I tell you. You got to back up to the cloud. Unfortunately, this show is not sponsored by a backup software company, but still a good idea. Well, Joe, why don't we jump into the news? Microsoft unveiled yesterday its Surface 3 tablet. The new tablet doesn't run RT. Instead, it runs the full-fledged Windows 8.1 operating system. Dana Wallman is the managing editor of Engadget and joins us now. Welcome, Dana.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. What kind of processor does the new Surface 3 have?
It has one of Intel's newest Atom processors, a quad-core chip. So it is a system on a chip, which means that it is still a fanless design like previous Surface tablets, but it is still an x86 processor, meaning, just in simple layman's terms, that you can run a full version of Windows on it with desktop programs and not just that watered-down version of RT that used to run on the previous models.
Hey, Dana, is there a new type of pen input here that Microsoft is pushing?
New for this line, absolutely. So actually, one of the things that used to distinguish these regular Surface tablets from the Surface Pro line, which is still around, is that the Surface Pro line always accepted pen input, pressure-sensitive pen input, where you could do some really detailed drawings and stuff like that. And you couldn't do that on the lower-end Surface tablets. And now, for the first time, you can. It actually has just as capable a pen as the one inside the much more expensive, much more powerful Surface Pro 3. In fact, the screen size is now exactly the same on both models. So Microsoft, in a way, made the two tablets look more similar than ever and behave more similarly than ever. It's just that the Surface Pro 3 is still way more powerful.
And more expensive. What other improvements are in this tablet?
So it's the thinnest and lightest tablet that Microsoft has made yet. It is thinner and lighter than the previous Surface 2. And the price is a little better also. It's now $499, which gets you 64 gigs of storage, whereas to get that much storage before, you would have been looking at an extra $50. So the price is a little gentler this time also.
Hey, Dana, what about upward protection towards Windows 10? Microsoft's working on that operating system. Will this new Surface 3 be able to run Windows 10?
Absolutely. It'll be eligible for a free Windows 10 upgrade, just like other current Windows 8.1 systems. So anyone who buys it now can know that they will be eligible for that free upgrade when Windows 10 eventually comes out. Right now, Microsoft is shooting for sometime over the summer. We don't know the exact date, but that seems to be the general time frame that Microsoft is going for here.
And there's also, of course, going to be an LTE version. Dana Wallman is at Engadget.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at Dana Wallman. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dana.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Got some more news for you in just a sec, but first I want to tell you about Prosper. Prosper is the modern way, the high-tech way, for you to get a loan. You don't want to go to the bank or borrow money from a relative. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with investors who have money to lend and invest in you and your project, whatever that may be. You can borrow up to $35,000 in as few as 5 days, and you get a low fixed rate loan. You can do all kinds of stuff with this. You can fix up your house, start a new business. Here's a great idea. Instead of racking up more debt on your credit cards, pay off the debt you've got using a loan from Prosper. You can check your low rate instantly without affecting your good credit score. Just go to prosper.com/twit. And now, for a limited time, Prosper is offering Twit viewers and listeners a $50 Visa gift card with your low interest loan. You can get up to a $35,000 loan in your account in as few as 5 days and a $50 Visa card. Just go to prosper.com/twit for this special offer. And it's just for you, members of the Twit Army. And we thank Prosper for their support of Tech News Today. Amazon today introduced something called Dash Buttons, which are product-specific buttons that instantly order that product. Amazon offers 18 buttons for now, including a Kraft mac and cheese button. They need that one. A Tide button and even a Bounty paper towels button. Rafe Needleman is the editorial director of Yahoo Tech and joins us now to explain this. Hey, Rafe, how you doing?
Hey, Mike. I'm good.
This isn't an April Fool's joke, is it?
This is no joke. No. This is no joke. This is Amazon wanting to make it so easy for you to order from them, as opposed to your local grocery store, that you never, ever leave the house again. It's actually an extraordinarily smart idea. The technology is finally ready to make this type of thing possible. Now, notice that when I say smart, I'm not saying necessarily a great idea for the world, but it's really, really smart for Amazon and the partners in their button program.
Hey, can you clarify for us, for those who have not seen this button program yet, you're not talking about an on-screen, like, buy this now button. This is a physical device okay. that or devices around your house that you can have and just start almost like the button that we see at Staples where you just start slamming on it to order more things.
Yeah, except this is real. If you can bring up the picture of it, you got it. There it is. You got the video. So it's a physical button. It's a fob about the size of a car key fob with one button on it and a big logo. The one I use in on Yahoo Tech says Tide. So you press that button down, and the thing sends you a confirmation flash to say that we've just ordered your laundry detergent for you again. You configure it for what you want. Maybe you want the 64-ounce Tide or the 128-ounce or scented or non-scented or whatever. When you get it, you set it up to get the thing that you want. The Gillette button will order the razors that you like. But the Gillette button will not order cat food. It will not order Coca-Cola. It will only order Gillette products from Gillette, so sent to you by Amazon. It's a really, really clever way for Amazon and the vendors to encourage you to stay with a particular brand and to make it so convenient to order replenishment products that you just never really have to worry about.
And I can imagine the brands themselves are lining up to be part of this because, of course, it gives them a huge amount of stickiness for products that people tend to be fickle about. Now, who gets to use this? I mean, I understand there's like an invitation to sort of like you have to have their tryouts or something. I mean, how does this work exactly?
Well, like it, Amazon did with its Dash ordering product, which was for Amazon Fresh customers, where you got an invitation and then you sent in a confirmation that you were interested in the product, and then maybe you got the product during the trial rollout period. This will be the same thing. Amazon Prime customers who have in the past ordered particular products that are branded, for example, Huggies diapers or Olay skin products or whatever, they'll get an offer. And then if they say, yes, I want to try this button out, maybe they'll get the button and they'll also get an offer to get two other buttons. So the rollout will be slow at first as Amazon figures this thing out. And then hopefully for Amazon over time, it'll shake up. And when you said they want this thing to be sticky, these things literally are sticky. They've got adhesive on the back. So you take your Gillette one, for example, and you put it inside your medicine chest. So when you see you're running out of razors, you just hit the button, and 2 days later, you've got a fresh pack of razors.
Any indications that Amazon will connect the dots here between this push and the Prime push?
No, this is a Prime benefit. This is for Prime people, Prime customers, and I imagine, that all the products will be shipped using Amazon Prime to encourage people to stay with it.
And I imagine they'll have a button for when the button battery dies and you need to order another button. Just push the button.
Right? If I may, the interesting thing about this, technically, this is a Wi-Fi product with a battery that lasts for years. So when you hit the button, it's dormant all the time. You only use this thing once every, 2 months, right?
Yeah.
So it's dormant all the time. You hit the button, and then it powers up, connects to your Wi-Fi hub, which you've got to configure through your smartphone, makes the order, gets a confirmation back, blinks green to say you've got the order, and then shuts down and waits for another 2 months. It's supposed to last for years before you throw it out and get a new one from Amazon.
Unbelievable. I'm going to wait till the end of day tomorrow to believe that this isn't an April Fool's joke. I know it isn't, but, man, this is a wild idea. Rafe Needleman is at yahoo.com/tech, and you can follow him on Twitter at Rafe. That's R-A-F-E. Thanks for joining us today, Rafe.
Thanks, Mike.
IBM is investing a whopping $3 billion to establish a new unit for the Internet of Things. The initiative is being done in partnership with the Weather Channel. Ron Miller is a freelance technology journalist who wrote about the story for TechCrunch, and Ron joins us now. How you doing, Ron?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. I haven't seen you since Barcelona. Now, what does the Weather Channel have to do with the Internet of Things?
It's not the Weather Channel, actually. It's the Weather Company. And what they're doing is they're hooking up with this company that has weather information that they're gathering from all over the world. The idea being that right now it's weather stations. Over time, it will also be smartphones with barometric pressure, cars with road information. And over time, you'll build up this huge database of information, and you'll be able to, create applications that look at this information and supposedly, give you some useful operational data.
Hey, Ron, is this a push by IBM more? On the one hand, they're talking about the Internet of Things here, but I really think it's more about their analytics and big data business in terms of selling you more of those tools so that you use the tools to look at the data. Is that what's really going on here?
Well, I think you can't have the Internet of Things without the big data element. So, yeah, I think you're right about that. They want to get Watson involved. It's a package of things. It's analytics. It's a platform play on their Bluemix platform as a service. And it's, a bunch of partnerships, of which the Weather Company is one of them. But the idea is you're gathering all this data and you want to use that data to make better decisions, which is the whole big data play. So yeah, it's a big data. It's tying into their whole strategy to become a big data company.
And now, how does this relate to, or does it compete with GE's Predix?
Well, I mean, I think that they're going after the same type of customers here. GE might be a little bit more industrial oriented because that's their thing. They're the jet engine company. They're the the industrial pipeline. Those types of things, and that's what they produce. So they're trying to make use of the data that they get off of sensors there. But I think ultimately, you have two big companies battling it out for this large, Internet of Things and big data business.
Hey, Ron, what about who owns the data here? And let me give you an example. So you've got the partnership with the Weather Company, and you hear about IBM and the Weather Company trying to reach out to retailers, for instance, and other types of businesses that are impacted by weather. As IBM is working to gather all this data, who owns it? Is it IBM that ultimately owns it and tries to sell it back to these various vertical market companies? Or do the vertical market companies ultimately own the data? I'm just interested in the privacy and ownership issues here.
If we're talking about the weather data itself, there's an agreement in place between the Weather Company and IBM where IBM can use the Weather Company's data. Other data that comes into play, I can't say for sure because I'm not a lawyer, but my understanding would be that if you're starting to use your own data where that line becomes your own data, then I would imagine that it would be your data. In terms of privacy, that's going to be between the customers and whatever company you're using that data.
Ron Miller can be found at facebook.com/reporter.ron or on Twitter at @Ron_Miller. Thanks for joining us today, Ron.
Thanks for having me.
All right. The Alcatel OneTouch watch is now available for pre-order starting at $149.99 from the company's U.S. website. The round-faced OneTouch watch works with both iOS and Android smartphones, has health monitoring features, smartphone notifications, and even music control on both platforms. A USB 2.0 port hidden in the band enables one-hour charging, which gives you between 2 and 5 days of battery life, according to the company. Alcatel has not announced an actual ship date. Joe, does this sound like a cool watch? I mean, it's hard to say unless we've really played with it, but it's got great battery life and it works cross-platform.
Yeah, I like the cross-platform play, certainly. But I'm curious to know if our listeners and our viewers are even familiar with, quote-unquote, Alcatel. You know, to me, they've always been more of an enterprise brand, and I'm not quite sure if there are a lot of consumers out there that understand the strategy here.
Yeah, and they're actually trying to be innovative. They have a lot of technology. They're one of these companies that's always showing their research and development. I've seen devices from them, solar-powered smartphones, things like that, that you never really see hit the market. But I think they're trying, and we definitely need some stronger European consumer electronics brands. We don't have enough of those. And so hopefully these guys will come along and have a hit on their hands with their smartwatch. We'll see. Well, Google yesterday announced a beta product called Cloud Console, which is a new Android app for monitoring the Google Cloud infrastructure that developers' applications use. The beta is available now in the Google Play Store, and Google promises an iOS version as well. The app helps Google compete better with Amazon Web Services and, of course, Microsoft Azure. This sounds like a solid idea, Joe. And, of course, this cloud space for developers and so on is getting really – it's getting great. I mean, the competition is driving a lot of innovation and great features, and this is yet another one.
Yeah, you know, I think the real benefactors here are the ISVs, the independent software developers that are writing apps that are going to run on either Google's cloud or Amazon's cloud or Microsoft Azure or IBM's SoftLayer. Those are the big four clouds now in terms of who's writing for what. And the big question is, with Google and others, are their cloud management tools, like this app you're talking about, is that going to be Google specific? So will Google's app only manage the Google Cloud, or will Google go cross-platform? And there are indications and hints that Google is going cross-platform and going to help you manage your apps and or instances over in the Amazon Cloud as well. So that'll be the big breakthrough going forward.
They certainly demonstrated their intent to do that wherever they can, and we actually have some more news on that front coming up very soon. Well, we told you yesterday about Apple CEO Tim Cook's Washington Post op-ed slamming so-called religious freedom laws, and specifically Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The law legalizes discrimination based on sexual orientation and other factors as long as that discrimination is based on religious belief. Now, major tech companies are pulling out of the big Indy Big Data conference scheduled for May 7th, according to a report written by some dude named Joe Panettiere. Cloudera, EMC, Salesforce.com, and other companies have publicly announced their withdrawal from the conference. Ouch, this is really hitting them where it hurts, isn't it, Joe?
It really is. And you know, the victim here is Indy Big Data, the show host. They have nothing to do. They have nothing to do with this legislation. And to their credit, they've updated their Facebook page at this point, basically telling Indiana legislators that you've got to change this or repeal it because it's already hurting business. And also, quite frankly, they disagree with the legislation. So, you know, it's very interesting to see how forceful the tech sector has been, quite frankly, led by Salesforce.com in terms of pulling out of Indiana so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Indiana doesn't have a ton of tech conferences. So this one looms very large in that state. It's very important for the business. It's very important for the state. It's very important for the prestige of the state within the tech circles. I mean, it's not like California that has a you know, 5-10 tech conferences a day, you know, a week or whatever. This is one of the few tech conferences that's there. And now this legislation is really hurting the reputation of Indiana. So I think something's going to happen. There seems to be a big push behind it, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And when something, and if something does happen, we'll report it here. Well, in product update news, Google yesterday updated its Gmail app for Android to support access to alternative services like Yahoo and Outlook. which all can be viewed in a single inbox. This is what we're talking about, Joe, where Google's trying to incorporate other platforms. Here you can have, if you have multiple services that you're using, they'll all just flow into the same inbox, and you can just answer your email as they come in without even worrying about where it came from.
Yeah, you know, it's refreshing. And I think basically Google and Microsoft in particular are saying, if the market has critical mass, we'll support it. So anytime a third party gains that critical mass, now you're going to see open APIs with Google plugging into them and or Microsoft.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Google also made Google Plus photos automatically available via Google Drive. Photos will just begin magically appearing in Drive over the next few weeks if you've got Google Photos on Google Plus. So this is a great feature. It doesn't really change anything. It doesn't take anything away. It simply adds the access from Google Drive. So that's a very, very cool feature, I think. The WhatsApp voice calling feature we told you about months ago is finally available in the Android version of the app. Finally. It's reports coming out are that it's kind of spotty and intermittent right now, as you might expect for a new phone app service. But they're getting there. And of course, if you're using the app version, please let us know, how WhatsApp works for you as a phone app. Just send us email to tnt@twit.tv because we'd love to know. We're getting all kinds of reports, some saying it works fine, others saying it barely works at all. So let us know. Well, in earnings reports today, China's Huawei Technologies reported a 33% rise in 2014 net profit and a 21% increase in revenue. Huawei is on a roll. And of course, they do all kinds of enterprise stuff on the back end. They're kind of been banned for the most part in the U.S. because of hysteria over Chinese hacking within the U.S. Senate and government in general. But they are a global powerhouse and coming on fast here.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Mike. You mentioned 33% growth without any or with limited U.S. uptake. And, you know, one of the big companies allegedly behind that is Cisco, always lobbying, U.S. legislators. Yeah. I will pronounce that word correctly at some point during today's show. But Cisco working behind the scenes here to keep that company out of the U.S., and yet they're still growing at 30%, 33%.
Yep. And, you know, thanks to the rapid growth of China mainly, but also new customers elsewhere around the world. Well, in government crackdown news, the Chinese government intends to punish leading Chinese internet companies, including Tencent Holdings, Youku Tudou, and iQIYI for hosting violent and pornographic videos. The government didn't specify what that punishment would be. And, you know, I said they were violent and pornographic. Most of the content is coming from Japan. A study commissioned by the Belgian Privacy Commission has concluded that Facebook tracks users even if they've opted out of tracking, even if they're not Facebook users. And they do it via social plugins like the like button, according to the report. And that's against European law, according to the study. Facebook says the report contains factual inaccuracies. And I thought it was really interesting that they did this study, according to Facebook, without contacting Facebook in any way. And Facebook has sent, when they saw an earlier draft, Facebook sent a bunch of corrections, and those have not been noted in the current report. So it sounds like they're kind of ignoring and snubbing Facebook if Facebook is to be believed.
You know, that's a shame, too, because I think it's really important that we try to grasp and understand how much data Facebook is collecting. But Facebook certainly deserves equal time on the topic. You know, how can you produce something like this without having Facebook's feedback? And, you know, one of the reasons I'm so interested in this, I was on the phone yesterday with the chief data officer and actually the president of a company called ThinkBig, which is a major big data company. He was talking about the struggles right now with companies trying to collect data from Facebook. And those companies are really not having much success. It almost feels like Facebook is holding back some of the data. And this study seems to suggest that as well.
Come on, Facebook. Don't be stingy. Share all the data. people think they do, and they really don't share it that much, but they certainly do harvest it and collect it for themselves. Well, yes. In big numbers news, we got $11 billion. That's a big number. That's how many dollars Samsung's market value increased during the month of March, thanks to the introduction of the Galaxy S6 and S6 Edge. Samsung shares have climbed 6.2% since the announcement. Well, $5.1 billion. That's how many dollars HP is demanding in a new lawsuit against Mike Lynch and Sushovan Hussain, the former CEO and CFO of the British software company Autonomy. HP says they engage in fraudulent activities while running that company, and HP acquired Autonomy in 2011 in an $11.7 billion deal engineered by former CEO Leo Apotheker. Joe, what do you think of this story? This is quite a lawsuit.
Yeah, you know, this is the story that just won't die. Or let me rephrase that. It's the story that HP just won't let go of. You know, it yeah. seems like not that the autonomy folks have been completely vindicated, but a lot of the legal cases seem to have been dropped or disappeared in terms of investigations. But HP doesn't seem willing to let it go.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, we got a little bit of breaking news. Female tech workers, mostly in Silicon Valley, are raising money to buy a full-page newspaper ad thanking Ellen Pao for her unsuccessful lawsuit against Kleiner Perkins over sexual discrimination and retaliation. So that is a breaking news story. Very interesting development there. Well, in news you can lose, well, I'm a sucker for that drone footage showing the construction of Apple's Spaceship Campus. We got some more for you today. Check this out. This was recorded and posted on YouTube, by the way, in 4K. So this is a very cool video. Now you see that is actual construction there of the giant donut that they're building. That's going to be the main office building. Behind it, you see this the underground part. There's going to be a whole freeway under there and lots of, all of the infrastructure that's required to sort of keep a building with heating and cooling and air and all the rest is all going to be underground. But there it is in all of its shining glory. $5 billion worth of glory right there. And that, of course, is on the former campus of one of the, HP campuses in Cupertino. Very cool. I love that drone footage. Well, speaking of headquarters, Facebook just moved into its new headquarters, and the pictures are hitting Instagram. The headquarters were designed by Frank Gehry, and we specifically designed the headquarters to look unfinished. So there's even a park on the roof. This is some wacky headquarters. So let's take a look at this artsy-fartsy new headquarters. Now, that actually might be the roof there. Now, there's like dripping paint all over and like unfinished corners and edges. It basically looks like it's got another like month left on the construction. But that's by design.
You know what, Mike? I'm a little insulted. I am the king of unfinished, and they didn't call me to help out on this.
They didn't give you credit for the idea.
Yeah.
That is a shame. Well, that's a very cool headquarters. They got all kinds of weird spaces. They have, of course, some of the things you'd expect, like a giant, what do you call those where they have the colored balls and you dive in, for children? They have one of those.
A ball pit, Mike.
A ball pit. Yeah, except it's not for children. It's for Facebook engineers.
Or if it's Jeopardy, it's what is a ball pit, Mike?
Yes. Thank you, Alex. well, our TNT fan of the day is Beto Mendez of Yonkers, New York, who posted this picture. I guess he took it in Toledo, Spain. But there he is watching every Twitch show. He's watching all the Twitch shows. Wow, that probably took him a while. Right there on the train. Looks like a train station or something like that. I don't know where that is. But anyway, we appreciate that picture. Very cool. And we want to know how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or setup and post it on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook and use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT, and we will find it. Joe Panettiere. Don't disappoint me, man. You've always got a fantastic plug for After Nines. What do you got today?
I will not disappoint you. We do have some new R&D going on, but I'm not going to share that yet. It's still behind the curtains. But I will give you something that is premiering tonight, and that is Podcast 28. You go visit afternines.com/CEO. And that Podcast 28 actually looks at the co-founders of a new company called Elation. And this new company is founded by folks from Oracle, Google, and Apple. And it's an enterprise search and big data company that just came out of stealth mode today. So if you're interested in sort of where big data is going and where enterprise search is going, Elation may have some answers for you. And the CEO is on the podcast tonight, 9:01 p.m. Eastern.
Sounds awesome. Thank you so much for co-anchoring today, Joe. And we'll see you next time.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much.
All right. You can subscribe to Tech News Today, and you should subscribe to Tech News Today, and you can do it via RSS or any other way. Just go to twit.tv/TNT and pick your way to subscribe. You can also watch us live every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC at live.twit.tv or on the app or browser plugin of your choice. You can find those choices at twit.tv/apps. If you're ever in California, come on in and watch us as part of our studio audience. And you can follow us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV, and you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Mike Elgin. Let us know what you think. Send us an email to tnt@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW. And don't miss Tech News Tonight, our other news program at 4 p.m. Pacific every single weeknight. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Tech News Today. My name's Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.